Hey, welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. We're back at it after a week off.
Yeah, back again, man. Back on the grind. Yep. Looking forward to it.
Last week, we had last Sunday, we had a guest speaker, Mark Landrum.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we didn't have a podcast last week. He did a presentation of the Passover, which was phenomenal. I loved it.
That was awesome. And then he flew back to Australia so we couldn't do our podcast. So.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have gotten him. He'd have been on here, too.
That'd have been pretty cool. But this week, we're back, and we started a new series called The Essential Jesus. We're talking about, you know, the core things that Jesus lays out for us.
That's right.
This is a five-week one,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this week, we talked about foundation.
Yes.
It's pretty important.
That's where it has to start, just like the series starts there.
Yeah, I thought that was...
not on accident.
Yeah, I thought it was funny in your sermon. You were like, no pun intended, but this is the foundation of the sermon series.
That's it, man. Like, yeah, couldn't help myself.
Only pastors can do that. And
small dad joke thrown in there.
I appreciate those. Yeah. But before we get too far into it, I always like to start with some kind of question, kind of get us familiar with each other and with the people that listen to us. I was thinking about foundations.
Okay.
There's not many questions I can ask you because I'm not really like a big construction guy. But I started thinking the things that are laid on foundations are pretty important.
Houses,
buildings. And so I thought, what are your favorite three pieces of architecture? And what we could do is we could go back and forth. You do one, I'll do one. That way I don't steal all yours and you don't steal mine.
No, I appreciate that. that's a tough one for me because so many of my favorite places are like just being outdoors and places I've been, experienced mountains and lakes and rivers. And
the architecture
and
God.
Canyon and these kind of things. Yeah, so I mean, that would be at the top for me, but I'm not going to cheat. So my favorite piece of architecture would be my childhood home.
Okay.
So the house I grew up in and first 18 years of my life until I moved and left to college and of course came back and forth and my mom still lived there for many, many years.
Yeah.
So one that's probably impacted me the most and such a rare opportunity to get to live in the same house, you know, your whole childhood, really your whole life until you left for school.
Yeah.
So that for me is number one. How about you?
Yeah, so mine have no sentimental value whatsoever to me. I mean, they do because I've been to these places, but the first one is Notre Dame, the church there in Paris. That was, we accidentally ended up there. It started raining and we ran to the first open building, which was the church there. We had planned on seeing it later in our trip, but man, it was beautiful on the inside. And so this is before it actually had burned that we went. It'd be pretty cool to go back and see what they've done differently. I started watching a documentary about how they were like extracting some of the wood from that fire to reuse and how they were trying to keep it structurally stable. I never finished it, but that was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful.
I've just seen pictures.
Church building. Awesome.
Yeah. One of these days, I've got to take my wife to Paris. That's on the top of her list.
There you go. You can let me know if it's changed.
One day,
we can compare notes.
I will. I think another one for me, you know, would be something I got to experience in our Israel trip. Went to the Holy Land a couple of years ago, and that so many things there were right up top of my list. Again, not a lot, not all those structures. Vast majority of them are not standing anymore. Yeah. But some of those cathedrals and things that we went into there are really beautiful, nice, just amazing places to be in. But there's a cool miniature piece of architecture there that is Jerusalem in the time of Christ, basically, where they have built a giant model on the ground at the Israel Museum. Oh. So it's massive. This thing is probably... you know, I think in yards, so it's probably 20 yards long by like 20 yards wide. And it shows what the city would have been like during that time. So you can stand above it because you can kind of walk around it above it and see what everything looked like. See the Temple Mount and all these kinds of things as they were in that day and age.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool piece of architecture, just in miniature.
I like that. My second one is St. Paul's Cathedral in London.
Okay.
This church had this huge dome that was I mean, you could see it from all over the town or city. And one of my favorite stories associated with that was one that our tour guide had told us about. I think it was in one of the London, when London was burning.
Yeah.
They had this picture, which you can Google it, and it's of the dome, and all around it is just smoke billowing up. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the places that I think withstood that fire, if I remember correctly. But it was such a cool picture. And you hear about stuff like that in the Notre Dame burning, that the cross was still intact, like that hadn't been touched. I like cool stories like that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful building, beautiful piece of architect.
No, it's a good story. And speaking of stories, so my final one is a building that I got to see it would have been February of 2001. And I was in New York City, so pre 9/11.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And got to go to, we were just walking around seeing all kinds of things, Statue of Liberty and, you know, all this stuff. But we went to the World Trade Center and didn't actually go up in the World Trade Center, but I can still remember to this day standing underneath it and looking up. And I remember very vividly doing something I would never have normally done, which was put my hand across the side of the building, like run my hand along it as we were walking.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I did it, but I did it, and I remember looking up. I think it was probably just kind of putting my hand there because the glass on the front, the shell on the front was just kind of just real slick. It just looked slick all the way across. And then looking up at how tall the building was. So then, you know, some matter of months later, seeing that come down, having known how amazingly large these buildings were, man, it put it all in perspective. So,
man, that's wild.
Yeah, it would be right up there.
We went there whenever, I guess it was 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just a big hole. Like they were still doing the construction for the Freedom Tower, I think, which is called now. Man, that's neat. My last one is the Louvre.
The Louvre.
It is humongous.
Yeah.
I think it's like 800,000 square feet or something. Wow. I mean, it is very large.
Yeah.
Humongous. But, I mean, of course, there's famous paintings in there, the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
But my favorite one was the one right across from the Mona Lisa. It's like this, the Mona Lisa's, I mean, it's like a portrait.
Right.
Super tiny. There's all these people. But then you turn and you look on the back wall and it's this huge painting on the wall of like the steps to a temple, and it's supposed to be like of Jesus's day, and it's like, man, that's cooler than the Mona Lisa over there.
Right.
But yeah, it was an interesting place to be. Beautiful museum, beautiful architect. But yeah, we're talking about foundations today, and that's what kind of got me thinking of the beauty of a foundation. Those places couldn't stand or couldn't withstand time without a solid foundation.
Right.
And that's kind of what you get into your message this past Sunday. Give us a little overview of what you talked about.
Yeah, so you know, the whole purpose of the series is to get us looking at Jesus and to get us really examining what is it that is most essential about Christ. Now, that's not an easy thing to break down because everything about Jesus is essential. But when we really have to dial down into it, what are the fundamental things that Jesus shows us, teaches us, guides us in, you know, wants to shape our life through? So we start with Jesus's summation of the Sermon on the Mount, or at least we'll say this is how he put a bow on the Sermon on the Mount, which is to say, if you're smart, you'll do all this stuff I just told you. This is how you'll build your life. If you're a dummy, or, and you know, a moron. Right? As we talk about in the message, which foolish, right? The wise and foolish builder. Foolish, we get our word for foolish from the Greek word for fool, and that's ultimately where that word moron comes from. So that's the root of the word, and that's where we get it. So it's okay to say moron, right?
It's okay.
Yeah.
We'll give people the pass.
That's right.
So the text was from the parable that Jesus says or talks about the foolish man building his house upon the sand, the wise man building his house upon the rock. And so the foundation in which we choose is important throughout our life.
Yes.
Especially as we see in the story when the storm problems come. And so you broke down kind of six things that both of these characters in this parable experience.
Yeah.
What I want to do is just kind of go through those six things and talk about them. So the two men shared the same vision.
Mm-hmm.
They both had this the want to build a house.
Yeah.
So what does that look like for us?
Yeah, I mean, that one's really simple, but to me, really powerful. No matter which side of the building you're on, you know, this of how you build, everybody is trying to build something, no matter who you are, right? You're trying to build a life.
Yeah.
Nobody says, I really want my life to be terrible, or, you know, I'd like to have my life be a mess. Everybody is trying to build a quote-unquote good life. Mm. What does that look like is the real question. And what is this life going to be motivated by?
Mm.
You know, what's your motivation? So everybody's trying to build something in this story. Both were trying to build a house, so they have that same thing in common, but how that house is built is going to make all the difference, both in this life and critically in the next, in
For
the
sure.
eternal life.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to get that right.
And so we choose how we build our lives. We can build
right.
it upon the truth of Jesus and or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really your only two choices that you have.
Right.
It's either you're with Jesus or against him.
And this is free will, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the choices that we make
yeah.
that are laid before us. Building on sand, building on the rock, up to you.
And so based on that choice, in the story, both men are faced with the same storm.
Yeah.
And so I think this really shows us what foundation we set upon our house, which foundation we choose.
Yeah.
You know, is it Jesus or is it the world's advice of how to build a family or how to build self-esteem or whatever you choose? Like,
right.
you will find out when the storms come.
Yeah.
And you said in your sermon, the storms are coming.
Right.
And are already here, you know.
And there's no mistaking that, right? Mm. You know, everybody's going to face storms. And, you know, I don't know about you, but just like the people in Noah's day, that if I knew a storm was coming, if I knew that the world was about to be deluged by water, by rain, by storm,
yeah.
I would want to know the guy with the boat,
Absolutely.
Right? So for us, when we know that there are storms in this life, we know that there are storms are coming, and we as Christians understand there is a final quote-unquote storm or moment of judgment and Christ coming back again, I'm going to want to be with the one who has the boat.
Yeah.
And that's Christ in this, right? In that metaphor or illustration, if you will. So I think that's really what that comes down to. Hey, we're all going to face storms. Much better to have the boat or the raincoat when the storm comes
yeah.
than not.
And you talk about the future storm to come, Judgment Day. Man, I was thinking, whenever you were preaching this, just the things that my family and I have been through in the last week.
Right.
I have no idea how will we do this apart from Christ.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking and trying to process grief and trying to like ask God why and these things, and it's I don't even know what I would do if I didn't have that foundation.
Yeah.
If I was not rooted in a church that preached the truth, that cared about its people, no idea. And so for me, I was thinking, and I think we'll get to it in the fourth one, but we can talk about it right now,
mm-hmm.
is how do we set these foundations? Like, mm-hmm. okay, we have the foundation in Christ. So how do we begin to make sure that what we build on top of it doesn't crumble?
Mm.
You know, because I feel like at some times in our lives, we'll have remodels.
Mm-hmm.
Like the storms will come and it'll poke and prod at a particular thing we believe in, or maybe what we're putting our trust in ourselves, and it will say, all right, let's get that fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been processing, and even through this message, is, man, I think the local church is pivotal in this.
Yeah.
In the way that if we're not a part of a community, we'll get swept away pretty easy.
Right. Yeah, and I talked about, of course, at the end of the message that we would examine our foundations. So, mm-hmm. like, how do we do it? Well, we look at our foundations. And the three things I said to really try to encourage the church through this message to give us something practical to have a conversation around that, that would be a tool was to pray, to plan, right, and prioritize. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord, help us, show me where my foundation is not right. Plan. I'm going to make a plan along, you know, of how I'm going to build. What's my life going to look like? What am I building on? You know, and I'm going to prioritize. I'm going to prioritize the right things. I'm going to prioritize those areas in my life that I know are helping me build a firm foundation. And I'm going to, in that whole process of looking at my life, examining my foundation, I'm going to push away as much of that stuff that I know is sand as I can.
Yeah.
And if everybody, you know, if every believer and if everybody who's trying to walk with Jesus would actually take the time to slow down enough to examine their life in that way, everyone would be on much firmer footing. Yeah. It's that very few of us want to do the work of that
beforehand.
Right. And we talk about that in some of these points about that's how you build a foundation.
I definitely can see that. Like, you can't, I think about when a hurricane comes through, man, you can't dig your trenches during that. Like, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Like, you'll end up hurting yourself even more. But anyway, we'll get into that, I think, a little bit more. Then the next one that we talked about, the two men, they both possess two different characters.
Yeah. Yeah, one was wise, one was a moron.
Yeah.
You know, it's really quite as simple as that of, you know, one was smart enough to do what was obviously necessary to sustain, to sustain life, to sustain a firm, you know, foundation and building. And the other one was lazy and quick and not intentional. And that is a perfect microcosm of what our lives can look like one way or the other as Christians. Well, I took the time, I dug the foundation, I'm in the Word of God, I'm in community with other believers, I'm in my prayer life, like, consistently. All the stuff you learned in Sunday school, that your Sunday school teachers are smarter than you, right? They were. They were back then, and most of them still are.
Absolutely.
And they were telling you all the things you needed to hear and do. And now sometimes we dismiss those spiritual disciplines as, I know that.
That's legalistic.
Right. It's either legalistic or, I got it. Except, you got it abstractly. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You're just not doing it.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Man, every time somebody makes that point, I think about it. Even the demons believe in Jesus.
Right.
They don't have action to what their belief is. And us as Christians, we can't just merely believe what Scripture says as truth. We have to apply it and live it and put it into action. And I'm experiencing now that the work that has been done, not saying that, look at me, but the work that Jesus has told us to do pays off. It allows us to stay firm and to hold true to what I believe.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. And really, the next one, the two men had different foundations. We see what happens. We see their life crumble. Their houses, the house on the sand is washed away.
Right.
I can attest to seeing that in people's lives, that what they built when the storm comes is washed away. And sometimes that's the best thing that could happen.
Yes.
Because then they feel like they have this clean slate on which, once they hear the truth of Jesus, they can build this house upon the firm foundation.
Yeah.
I think of experiences like Paul. Like, his foundation was kind of wonky. He's killing Christians, and God gives him this moment of, and he repents, and his whole life is changed. And look at what he builds upon that foundation for the God, like, sharing the gospel, the people that he affected is amazing. But a storm had to happen. Suffering had to happen.
Yeah, and at the end of that rope, you know, that proverbial rope, what will you choose? Will you choose to get bitter, or will you choose to get better?
Yeah.
And those are the choices that I think, when you're finally pushed into that place, the unfortunate truth When people reach the end of their rope, some people just get bitter. Mm. They get bitter at God. Yeah. They get bitter at other people. Some people say, I'm going to get better. And so I'm going to get better in my spiritual health, mm. right? Like I'm going to get healthy yeah. in that way. And I'm going to get better in the way that I'm living and building my life. So bitter or better, like you got a choice to make in that, yeah. especially when the foundation has been shaken, you're shaken to your core, you're at the end of your rope. I mean, we can use all the kind of old adages and metaphors if we want, but I think everybody gets that piece, right? Mm. But what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And some of the greatest stories that you will ever hear and experience in your friends and your family and people that are public figures that you don't really know, the greatest stories oftentimes you will hear are people who tell stories about how they were done. They were just at the end. And then.
Yeah.
Right?
But.
And then. Yeah. Right? Mm. So, it doesn't have to be the end of us. It can be the beginning of us.
Mm. And I'm just thinking now, I wonder if in our Western culture, if we don't, Paul refers to suffering so much.
Yeah.
Prepare for it. If we believe, we live in America, we're not going to have that much suffering. Like, I can just believe in Jesus and be fine, not right. do any of the work that he calls us to do in obedience. But we're all going to suffer. Right. And as Christians, we should prepare for that. There's going to be some kind of storm that, whether that's something physically that happens, mentally, spiritually, there's going to be some kind of warfare that happens. Mm-hmm. We have to prepare.
Yeah. And
look at what he talks about, the armor of God. Mm-hmm. That's not some lackadaisical. There
close
we go.
Enough.
Yeah, close enough.
Ballpark.
Yeah, it's not just something that we can put off. Like it's an action. It's preparing for war.
Yeah.
And having that foundation, what we do on top of that foundation is that.
Yeah, that's a good, really good example to the. Yeah, the full armor of God is a perfect example of preparation. Mm-hmm. I should have used that in my sermon.
Okay.
Where were you when I needed you?
That's what we're here for on the podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
And then obviously the two men experienced different results.
Yes.
I don't know if we hit that one, but yeah, one is totally, I think we did that one.
Yeah, that was pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
One house stands, one doesn't.
Pretty
clear the reason for it. All right.
And then the last one, we kind of hit on this earlier, our foundation must be formed before the storm comes.
Yeah, you're not pouring concrete in the rain.
No,
no.
Absolutely.
And if you are, it's going to be a mess.
Golly, it right? would be a mess.
It'll be a mess. Mm. And it won't last, yeah. Thank God, and I referenced this in a sermon. I can't remember if I did this in both services. I don't know if I ever said it in both services or not, but, the whole idea of thank God for last-minute grace, which he has allowed many, many people through the years. In other words, God's grace is big enough, just like the parable of workers in the vineyard, where you have people that are coming at the very last hour and get the same amount as those who worked all day through the heat of the day. God's grace is able to save in the last minutes, in the last moments of a life. It is able. But I don't want to put God to the test that way. Mm. I don't want to live my life that way, and neither should you.
Yeah.
So I think not taking advantage of grace in that way and instead saying, I'm gonna build on a firm foundation from day one. Mm.
Yeah, I like what I think his name is Jeff Durbin. He talks about he has a lot of conversations with like Mormons and people that don't believe in God, and mm-hmm. he always asks them, okay, you say this is a moral standard, but what is your standard of belief? Like what is that based off of? What is your foundation? And it always comes back to, this is just what I think or what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We as Christians, I take comfort in having this foundation where Jesus has already showed us what to believe, what is good, what is righteous,
mm-hmm.
and all our duty is to obey that.
That's right.
And that's the last point in our sermon series is obedience.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm preaching that week, and so that's what's on my mind. Like our action is to be obedient to what he says.
Right.
And it will help to build on a firm foundation.
Yes. What will we do with what has been presented to us? That's at the heart of this message. So how are we going to build?
I like it. We talked a little bit about how do we build on this foundation with the three P's that you've talked about. And the planning part, I think, is critical. Because what was the first P that you said?
Pray.
Pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once we've... that is the foundation to this whole thing.
Yes.
You know, whenever we plan on our own means or by our own will and power, it doesn't work most of the time.
Right.
It never works.
Yeah, and I think, you know, lots of times as a preacher, I am tempted to hold people's hand through, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this, and give them very specific things. But I'm frequently reminded, or I often come back to, I actually don't think that's the best way. I think the best thing that I can do for you is not me say, do this, do this, do this, do this, and instead say, you get your prayer life where it needs to be, and you talk to the Lord about it with a like sincere heart, and He will show you what it is you need to be doing. Mm-hmm. He will tell you what it is you need to be doing. And who am I to think that I can give you some kind of rote list? You know, I came up with four or five things that I think you need to look at and change. Well, that list can never be exhaustive. And certainly sometimes we give that level of guidance. But in general, I just believe in pushing people towards, let the Lord do that work in you and you do the ask, right? He'll give you what you ask if you'll ask Him. So that's really what I was getting at with that is, hey man, pray and ask the Lord, what areas in my life am I not building my foundation right? Why don't I just look and examine my life with you, Lord Jesus, and show me where my priorities are off? Because I believe you will. I absolutely know He will if you ask Him to.
Yeah.
So that's why we went down that road in the way we did.
Yeah, and thinking through it, when Heather and I first got here, one of our prayers was that we would be in community.
Yeah.
And with what we've kind of gone through, He's placed people in our lives, and even recently, that have been through similar circumstances.
Yeah.
And what a blessing that is to see an answered prayer, not even before the storm, but during it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that only produces more hope within myself that one day we will see, you know, the metaphorical sun shining type thing. And even in the midst of the hurricane, you see the sun shining at some point during the eye, if you're over the eye of the storm. And for me, seeing that prayer answered and even being guided and pointed towards that by people that aren't in my household, like, look who He put in your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is beautiful, because we've done the prayer. We've planned in a sense of who we're close with and people that can really pour into us during times like this. And we prioritize those relationships. And I think that's benefiting us during this time.
You don't know how bad you need a friend till you need one.
Yeah.
Right? And then if you don't have it, you miss it. And that's why community is so important. Mm. And I love what you talked about how God provided that in many ways before you even realized you needed or you knew you were going to need it. There's an Old Testament word for God's goodness. It's hesed.
Mm.
And the hesed of God is that God's innate goodness and provision is what that word means. It doesn't simply mean good, like we would think that's a good cup of coffee, you know, that's a good chocolate bar. No, God's goodness is summed up in that word, and it's not just something good, it's who God is in His very nature, right? So I think that word speaks to what you've experienced, and I know others have as well.
Yeah. He's our provision.
Ooh, yeah.
That's good, man. That, man, definitely life-fulfilling. It's what keeps us going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I couldn't imagine doing something hard without Him.
Yeah.
Like,
if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that through the years, and most of the time I hear it from senior saints, you know, people that have been through a lot, they've lived a lot of life.
Yeah.
And they tell me over and over and over again, and I know you've heard this too. I mean, lots of people out there have heard it. It's not just unique to me, but you know, people will say to me, you know, I don't, you know, it's been tough, or I've gone through this, or I've lost my spouse, or whatever it is that's going on, and say, but you know, I don't know how I would get through it if I weren't a believer, if I didn't have my friends in Christ, right? You know, that they have these other believers. I've heard it a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I get it. I understand, you know, I'm so thankful that. I'm so thankful that the Lord has provided again in His hesed for us in that way.
Yeah, and that Jesus would even lay it out to us like this. Like, how more straightforward could he have been? Like the beauty and the grace of even that. God could have been right and just letting us figure it out. But he's given us this path, this the way to go.
Yeah.
And if we follow that way, man, there's blessing after blessing, even during storms and trials.
And that's a good way to put a bow on it, because everybody keeping in mind, and I would kind of encourage everyone who's listening to this podcast, take a minute and go back and read the Sermon on the Mount. You know, read the Sermon on the Mount and then get to this story.
Yeah.
And that really helps put everything in context of what Jesus is teaching, what he's saying to us. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, great way to end it. So what are you looking forward to? What you got going on?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it won't be it's just a matter of weeks until spring break, and I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little excited to be on a beach. I'm very much enjoying spring, and I'm already annoyed that it's going to get cold again here in a few days.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will be short-lived, and we'll be right back in spring, and it'll be sunny and beautiful. And so that, just springtime, you know, can't wait to turn my clock ahead an hour this week, right, and lose that hour of sleep. It's going to be awesome.
It's my favorite.
See, for me, it doesn't bother me because I'm up anyway, and it just means that it's not as, like, crazy early when I wake up, so...
Anybody with small kids.
Yeah, like whatever to me. But mainly spring. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, we have a ton of stuff coming up. We have Discover in Galilee that's coming up in on the 19th. I think that's probably one of my – I love my Wednesday night class, don't get me wrong. But I love teaching that. I love answering people's questions of why do we believe what we believe?
Sure.
How can I get plugged in? How can I serve? How can I be a part of a connect group? Like that to me is awesome. And really – seeing that come to fruition like this past Sunday with the Barnes family joining, I mean, I was thrilled.
It's awesome.
And full of joy.
So good.
Like that's, and so I'm looking forward to that.
Love it. Well, and you're doing a great job with that class, man. I think that's been a great inroad for people to find out more about Galilee and find out more about what we believe. And, you know, I've talked about this, but we just believe it's so important to help people cover that stuff before they really commit to this as their church family. Like, you need to know who it is, what it is we're teaching, what it is we're saying, you know, decide, you know, now if we're crazy or not, you know,
if we're a cult or not.
We keep the snakes hidden in the back, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, I think it's so good. And quite honestly, it helps protect all of us because it gives everybody all the information.
Like, for sure, up front.
This is who we are. Like, we're not going to, you know, beat around the bush about what the Bible says or, you know, all these kinds of things. So it's good.
I like it. Well, we appreciate you listening. If you made it this far, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Welcome to The Breakdown, where we dig deeper into Sunday's sermon, talk about life, and encourage you in your walk with Jesus.